theologian Anne Lamont once wrote that she has two basic prayers. Thank you, and help me. Which reminded me of a very funny TV commercial. While it's funny, I can't remember exactly what they were selling, so it wasn't a successful commercial in that sense, but it was kind of funny. The scene is clearly heaven, and there is a receptionist there taking, I gather, prayers from people. The person phones up, rings, and she answers and says, oh, your cat's stuck up a tree. I'll put you on hold, and we'll get to you. Rings again, and she hears a man on the other end, like, shark! She says, I'll put you right through. Obviously, there's a hierarchy of calls coming to heaven, and some get there faster than others. And that reminded me of the Thomas Hobbes, English philosopher's quoted once, the life of man is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Now, I do not believe that in its entirety, but I would say life can be all of those things to most of the people some of the time. Life at times can be a place of loneliness, desert of poverty, a patchwork of terrible experiences, unfairness, and, well, sometimes too short. But it can also be full of many wonderful things. It could be full of fellowship and community. It could be rich in spirit and experience, beyond beautiful description, full of excitement, and often long and meaningful. It can be all of those things. So perhaps Anne Lamont's basic prayers are true. Thank you, and help me. The disciples are sitting around Jesus, and they ask him, in Luke's account, to teach us to pray. And so he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. And after teaching them to pray the Lord's Prayer, that prayer that has lasted for 2,000 years and is written deep within our hearts and our minds and our souls, Jesus underlines this prayer with two different stories. Both deal with our difficulties in praying at times. Remember, part of our baptismal vow is to keep up our prayers. Carol has promised to keep up her prayers, and we've promised to help her to do that. And we also renewed our own baptismal vows to have a life of prayer. But we can have doubt about our prayers, and we can question the use of prayer. More often than not, I think when we do that, what is happening is we're not really feeling God's presence when we experience life as, for example, solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, or short. It seems that when we bow our heads sometimes in the darkness of a dark night, it seems that God can be silent. Therefore, in order to instruct his disciples on this in Luke's account, Jesus starts with a story that acknowledges the silence that at times meets all those who pray. Jesus tells a story of someone who goes to a friend's house in the middle of the night, and he is needing some help from his friend. But his friend is really reluctant to help because of the time of night. It's 12 o'clock, and he mentions to his friend outside the house that he is in bed and his children is in bed, and I just can't help you. But Jesus says, be persistent, and the friend will eventually give you what you want. The analogy is fairly clear. Sometimes you need to be persistent to wake up a slumbering God who will come down and will eventually open the door for you that you've been knocking on and will eventually answer your prayer. Your prayer, Jesus is saying in the first story, eventually gets through the receptionist, as I was saying, in heaven, and instead of being put on hold, you get in touch with God directly. But interestingly enough, then Jesus follows that story with a command. And he says this exactly. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who receives, everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. This command seems different than the story Jesus told first. In fact, you could almost say it seems at odds with that story. So it bears the question, is God a friend, like in the first story, a friend who is asleep in the house, but eventually will come around? Or is God a friend like we have in Jesus? Is God a friend like we have in Jesus? Then our relationship with God should be close, one full of joy and affirmation and forgiveness and hope and love. If God is Jesus, and he is. Now, I'm just going to stop there for a second. I realize that's a large theological statement to make and a complex one, and I could spend 10 sermons just talking on that. But for the purpose of this sermon, let's just go with that in our faith, in our hearts. If Jesus is God, and he is, then the one who taught us to pray has put us in prayer, in a close conversation with our close friend. Jesus says, suppose one of you has a friend. Jesus is that friend to whom you enter a holy and meaningful conversation. And Jesus, we know who we are talking to in the darkness of a dark night, because it is our friend to which we bow our heads and close our eyes. Jesus addresses us by name and includes us in a conversation for which we were made and which we were made in our form. It is a part of our very being to be in conversation with Jesus. In the times of dark silence, when we can experience life as solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short, it is he that shatters that life. He, the Word made flesh, by the one who calls us by name, by the one who answers each and all of our prayers. You know, I was thinking the other day about all the stories and commands and parables that Jesus uses in all of the Gospels. And I kept thinking to myself, there's something similar to them all. There's a certain commonality. And it wasn't the meaning, of course. In all of them, the meaning is God's love and love for us and guidance for us. And I don't mean that kind of meaning. I mean, there was almost something structural in each and every one of them. And then I thought to myself, I think I have at least one important commonality that comes through in every one of these. And that is, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He is teaching them to be invited into a relationship with God. Each one of them invites who he is talking to into a relationship with God. And in all relationships involve conversation. So indeed, God has given us the word that we need, and the word is Jesus Christ, who speaks to us always. All we need to do is to summon our courage and common sense and speak back to Jesus. When we do, we are in conversation with the one who knows every trouble, knows every one of our weaknesses, knows every one of our predicaments. And we know that this conversation is with someone who also cried out in pain and suffering and was met with silence. We know from Scripture and from our testimony in church that Jesus had a loving and affirming and meaningful conversations with those who were cast out by all others, had conversations with those who were lost, with those who were welcomed home after wasting their lives, with those who were sick in body, mind, or spirit. With those who question God's existence and question his own truth. He had conversations with those who just needed someone to listen to them. In that conversation with Jesus, we are just, in our conversation with Jesus, which is ours just for the asking, God intercedes and stands by us as we walk the life that might be at times poor, solitary, nasty, brutish, or short. Our baptismal vow is a part of our baptismal vow is a life of prayer. And that life of prayer is a conversation with Jesus. Now, I know you have heard this story. It's actually a poem before a number of times. But it's worth repeating. As I was preparing my sermon this week, this poem came back to me over and over again. So that's usually a message that I need to read it. And if you've never heard it, by the way, you're in for a real treat. One night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one belonging to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand and noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once that I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troubling times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you most, why would you leave me? The Lord whispered, my precious child, I love you and would never leave you, never ever during your times of trial or testing. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I was carrying you. If God is Jesus, and God is, then we know that we can always pray to Jesus, no matter what. For as Paul said to us, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.